TV and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a little bit, it's going to be John Ramos. If you missed our last program, you've got to get this. This is a continuing conversation about learning a little bit about our history. I mean, why are people doing what they're doing? And our last program concluded with a revelation of, you know, religions being used to organize the world. It's like radical Islam is being used by people who understand, as we talked about in previous programs, things like rules for radicals, the Saul Alinsky model. You know, our president and Hillary Rodham Clinton, they were actually mentored by Saul Alinsky. But these methods have been around for years. I mean, as a matter of fact, the book itself that talks about they taught it, and this is what they've done. And the Chicago Tribune writes on they write about the Chicago Tribune, about President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on the back of it. It's dedicated to Lucifer in the front of it. I mean, these are Lucifer. They did give a big shout out to him that used these kind of tactics. But right now, and what we found out when we were going through this history lesson about, you know, the reason why we have a Navy, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, had to actually develop a Navy to defend our American citizens in their ships that were going through the Barbary Coast area, which are the northern countries of Africa, which were Ottoman Empire, you know, states there, Muslim states. So there was Muslim pirates that were going on. And they, according to the Islamic faith, that if you're a non-believer, if you don't believe in Muhammad, then you're an infidel, and all the property you have, including you, belongs to them. You're in that boat that you're in, and all that merchandise is their inheritance. And they begin to take Americans as slaves. I mean, thousands and thousands of them were being taken as slaves. So Thomas Jefferson went over and tried to resolve all that. And we talked about it in the last program, and that's where America fought its first foreign war. That's why you hear about the Marines. Hymn when they talk about, you know, the anthem that, you know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. That is right where, as you can see right now, those 21 Christians were knelt down on the shores of Tripoli, and they were taken, they cut their heads off and killed them on the shores of Tripoli. But we had to go there for this particular war. We had to go there, and and defend our American citizens from Islam. Islam was taking our citizens as slaves. And for years, according to reports, that the church would actually, in France, would pay tribute and pay to get their citizens back. And we couldn't afford to do that as a nation. Besides, prior to the American Revolution, France actually protected the waterways, but once we became a nation, we had to develop our own protection, and that's where the Navy came from. That's why the Marines had to go there to the shores of Tripoli to be able to fight for Americans, get them out of slavery. They're being taken slavery. All those, it's our third president, America. Our third president, and a couple presidents obviously before that as well, the two, they had to work on trying to get you know, radical Islam from harming American citizens as we were traveling the world and doing trade. And so you're thinking, my goodness, we talked about the apology tour that our president had across the nations. Islam needs to have an apology tour. But what we found out is this. We found out is that when you look at the percentages, it's like less than one half of 1% of the population of America or even are Muslims. And it's not a threat. No, Muslims aren't a threat to Americans, not to the faith in America. I mean, it's not, but there's, people are using that. It seems like those that are in leadership are using religion to create fear, like the Alinsky Rules for Radicals model says, that you got to keep a militant force going to get people fearful when they start crying out, help, save us, you know, here's our freedom. And they surrender First Amendment rights. They surrender Second Amendment rights. They surrender Fourth Amendment rights. And hopefully we'll be talking soon about the Fourth Amendment, because the Fourth Amendment says that the government should not be able to search your papers or property without having a warrant. And in that, you know, they have to be very specific. For example, if they're looking for a needle in the haystack, they have to have, and the needle has to be a crime a probable cause that to possess a needle is a crime, or that you might be in possession of a needle, for example, say if that was a crime, they have to write down on a piece of paper and carry it to a judge and says, we believe that so-and-so has a needle in their haystack. And so they can actually take that warrant and go into your haystack, and they can only look for the needle. That's what the Constitution does. The Constitution provides, you know, being able to look just for the needle. But now this is what's taking place today. This is what's taking place today. They are asking for the haystack. And they're not even saying that a needle's a crime. They're taking all your papers, all your data, all your information, and people are just surrendering it over because they're just so fearful that some computer virus or somebody's going to hurt us, and you're like surrendering all your freedoms. We have to stop for a moment and think, what are we doing? Is this really an enemy? Are we really in that kind of danger, or are they just being used to organize the world? And it looks like this Rules for Radicals concept is being used to actually try to organize the world. And fear is a tactic with that. But we have to understand, listen, there is no fear for those who are in God. But we want to begin to think about, you know, in our history lesson here, as we're talking about Winston Churchill, and we talked about in a previous program, you know, our president, when he first got into office, he sent that bust back that was given to President George Bush during his first administration when 9/11 hit. And obviously it stands for a real difficult time coming. So and they loaned it to him for his first term, and they loaned it again for his second term. But when President Barack Obama came in, they were going to loan it to him as well. But what they did was, he says, he just gave it back. And it made a lot of sense because his grandfather, reports are, was part of the Kenyan Rebellion and was suppressed by Winston Churchill. And according to the former president of King's College, Dinesh D'Souza, that he was tortured, you know, by the British during that time and colonization and all that. We'll talk more about that today. But today we want to kind of just explore, you know, Winston Churchill. What does that mean? Because on the apology tour, when our president went around the world apologizing, he apologized. He said, listen, we are no longer a world, and I'll get the exact quote in a moment, we're no longer a world that sits down with Winston Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt in a room who just dictate some rules that people have to live by, nor do we want to live by those rules. So he was making a statement of the colonization and things that have taken place, that's something that we need to undo that. And it looks like it's being undone, you would think about it. So follow me over here, and we'll talk about more about Winston Churchill. John, what's going on, man?
Man, you know, this is so exciting, being able to get all of this history and putting into perspective, because a lot of things are happening in the news, but so many of God's people are not able to connect the dots and understand that there's a story behind the story. We just didn't get here. You know, things are happening, and being able to understand and put things into perspective makes all the difference in the world. I want you to encourage you to stay tuned as we're continuing to unpack this and unfold this. But also don't forget that we are every single day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m., on WHBR. You don't want to miss that. Set your DVRs. You don't want to miss one program. And of course, you can always find out more information by going to VFNTV.com.
So listen, so this ugly bust is like, somebody put the bust back up here?
Where is it?
This bust.
There,
so
he,
there
is.
He is.
There he is.
You know, right. And, you know, this is 9/11, I think, what is being presented to him. And it's like, you know, what does that represent? You know, what does that bust represent? And so I was doing a little research, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what it represented. And so you look at Winston Churchill. He was the prime minister of Great Britain during that time. And I looked back when I was studying the significance about, you know, Kenya and Africa and, you know, the colonization of things that took place out of Great Britain. Well, I found out that Churchill, in December 1905, Churchill became the Undersecretary of State for the colonies.
Hmm.
So he represented, Churchill represented to Africans as the one who was over the colonies. Hmm. Not a good thing if you're being colonized. Dealing with mainly the South African after the Boer War, which are, I'm not going to talk about that.
As the undersecretary of the colonies from 1905 to 1908, Churchill's primary focus was on settling the Transvaal Constitution. You got to get this, which was accepted by Parliament. It was accepted by Parliament in 1907. So he's over the colonies, primarily South Africa. He is has this Transvaal Constitution that he's supposed to enact, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're thinking, well, now we know a little bit more. If you caught our previous programs, it was pretty, you know, with radical Islam and the things that were taking place. Well, Islam, period, was taking place. Mm-hmm. And people were being taken as slaves and all that. But when you look at what this constitution said and the discussion they were having about the discussion, because you're in Africa. It's like, you know, when the first black president of South Africa.
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson, I mean, think about it. The first, it was so crazy. You think about, okay, we're in Africa, and the first black president was Nelson Mandela all these years later.
Something's weird there.
But then you start looking at history here, and you look at history, and this transverse constitution that was voted by Parliament because of the colonization it said in specifically part of it says, with the government's proposal, and I'm reading from their discussion, to confer suffrage. By the way, suffrage means to vote. I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, the women's suffrage movement, that actually means vote, just so you know that. But with the government proposed to confer the right to vote on all adult white males. You're in Africa. Dear God. What was wrong with mankind? Okay. So so his job is to execute this constitution, and it says to be able to get the right to vote for all white males with a general agreement, though we recognize, it goes on to say, that without a property qualification, many difficulties may arise in withholding the vote. Many difficulties may arise in because of not owning properties, and withholding the vote from the natives and the colored population.
Wow.
So they were already thinking, like, how do we keep the people who live in this land, the people of color?
Right.
And from what I understand, the numbers were like there was 90,000 total and in this particular city, and there was like 20,000 British. So how can we keep the most folks, the people whose land this is?
Right.
So they immediately, when this Transvaal Constitution was about, you know, we need to word it in a way that the black man can't vote. I'm thinking, wow. Dear God, you're in Africa.
Wow.
You're in Africa. More when we get back from this break, you're going to understand why would he send the bus back? It makes sense. It's like, sure. Get him out of my family. I want to see this guy right here.
Right.
I mean, he tortured my grandfather, you know, Hussein Obama, according in the Kenyan Rebellion, you know, according to reports. And, you know, Winston Churchill did. And you can say what you want to. If that's your grandfather, that's your grandfather.
That's right.
And now you understand why the president says, you know, we don't want to be a nation that tortures folks, because he saw, you know, the ramifications of that, supposedly. And now, you know, Winston Churchill comes in and says he's working, and he might as well, you know, Parliament agreed to it. He's sitting here over it. And so he's executing this thing that basically says, how can we figure this out? Because the problem was, there's been the Boers that have been there a little bit longer than others, that they've actually mixed their blood already. So they're trying to figure out how do you, we'll talk more about this. There's some people that has some African blood in them, but yet they're, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're looking at this ugly bust over here. I know you can see it. It just keeps going away. It's so ugly, it just disappears. That's of Winston Churchill. I mean, if you don't look good, that's the best way to do it. Just splash some stuff on there. Right? Yeah. That would probably be something like, I don't want a bus. Anyway, so why did the president send it back? We're starting to see, you know, there's Winston Churchill was over, you know, part of with this Transvaal Constitution of this, he was over the colonies, primarily in South Africa, with Great Britain, the Parliament voted how they were going to colonize things. And it's just, you know, and so we're finding out they were concerned that, you know, as they were voting on this thing about how they're going to give white male. I mean, they're in Africa. Mm. They were trying to figure out how they're going to give white men the right to vote. Notice women wasn't even included in there mm-hmm. either. You know, and they were really concerned about that. And they started talking about the Boers, the B-O-E-Rs, that's how you spell their name. And that because they've been there quite a while and they had some African blood in them. And so they started talking about, you know, how much. And it's like, to me, I always wondered, like, you got to check a box on an application. It's like, what point do you check the box? I mean, yeah. 10%, 5%? What about right. human race? And there should be like one box that says human race. And I just always, you know, I thought it was kind of strange how to do that. And so then you're starting to find out is what they were saying here. And he says and they're trying to figure out how to be able to give this white man the vote and the Boers who had, you know, white blood in them, but also some African blood in mm. them, that without giving the vote to the natives or the colored population. So the decision adopted in regards to the colored inhabitants of the Transvaal is one which we presume, I'm reading, this is the thing, will gain the assent of the large portion of the white population of Transvaal. They're trying to pander to the white vote.
Wow.
In Africa. Dear God. And at the same time, it may easily work grave injustice. And I'm thinking, oh, here, they're concerned now. They're realizing that's unjust not to consider the African vote, right? And this is why they consider it unjust. At the same time, it may easily work a grave injustice. If the condition of the European birth or European descendant is to be enforced strictly and logically, it must exclude persons who are partly African descent. So they were the injustice was that you shouldn't let any Africans vote at all, anyone who has any blood at all in their own country,
wow.
in their own continent, you know. He says, and he goes on to say right here too, he says, now it is notorious that a very considerable number of Boers, which are those mixed blood people, are partial Africans and descendants. Are we to inquire of their pedigree in such persons? Clearly, it would be impossible to do so without most, being real difficult to do. He said, but the results of this will be, as we pointed out a fortnight ago, because I'm reading from back then, that a man with a strain of African blood will get to vote if he is a Boer.
Wow.
They were trying to figure out how the black man can't vote in Africa.
Wow.
That's crazy. But it's true. I'm reading it right here. This is what this ugly dude right here, Winston Churchill.
Pride is an ugly thing, isn't it?
It is. So the British descendants, a mixture of native blood are not by any means so readily admitted as to be white as Boers in the same position. So they're literally, the whole thing was, how do we get white people to vote? This is Africa. This is the continent of Africa. What arrogance did Great Britain have? Mm. And their whole, by the way, the whole, if you read the whole thing, the very beginning of it was, we try to bring justice to people and representative government to the people. But what they voted, what Parliament voted on based on this understanding is that, how can we do it differently here? Because everywhere they had, look at Australia, look at all these different places that, you know, they did it. But when they got to Africa, they decided not to do it. And they favored the white man in Africa. And it's like, and the Boers, by the way, that whole thing is where reports are that apartheid eventually came from that. So the one that kind of got partially, and they could have been voted out because they had certain blood.
That is strain.
The word was strain. America, the word was strain.
Strain.
All men are created in the image and the likeness of God. This is what the word of God says. If you don't love your brother who you can see, you don't love God. There's a lot of people that die in the name of God that don't know God. They die doing what they call God's work And God don't even know them. He doesn't even know them. One way that you know, if you know God, if you love men, they're created in his image and his likeness. All men are created by God. All of our rights come from God. It is not okay for Great Britain to go and oppress the African people and tell them, if you have a strain of the people who live in this continent, who God chose for them to live in this continent, that they can't have any representative government, and you call yourself, it's like, come on, that's like wild. Yes, they were already being oppressed by Islam already, that was going on, the reports are, you know, according to the Barbary Coast and all that. Then you have Great Britain. So why? I would send his bus back too. I would send the bus back too. I'm thinking, like, I don't think so. If you came down, he was over the one responsible for working on getting that constitution, you know, going there. And so then I think about, you know, I look at another thing about Churchill here, and, you know, every one of us have histories and those type of things. But then I realize, you know, and we, all these sources are available to you. We have available to you on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But you know that Great Britain, John, they were the first ones responsible for drawing oil out of Iran.
Great Britain.
Great Britain. And prior to that, I guess they didn't, because they, everything, all the ships ran on coal. And so when you had a ship, they would shove coal in the thing and burn and, you know, heat up the water, spins the turbine, all that kind of stuff. Well, during Churchill, he switched over to oil. He switched the military over to oil during his. And it was just a strange thing. It's just really weird, too, because, you know, he was responsible for switching over to oil. And for some reason, according to reports, in 1919, Churchill sanctioned the use of it was 1923, about burning oil in the ships. But also, they bought out, I believe, an oil company called something oil, which later became BP, British Petroleum. So British Petroleum's roots come from the first one that drew oil, according to reports, out of Iran soil. And somebody said, this is a war for oil. But then he says, you know, he became a representative for BP, or with the oil, not BP, the name prior to being BP. So he actually, when he got in his career, he represented and became a part of this oil company that he switched over government over to. Oh my goodness. So you went and did the, oh my goodness. And so it's like, I mean, think about it. Churchill switched the military over to oil from coal. The Brits are the ones responsible for bringing oil out of Iran. They, you know, they're all government owned things over there. So they own this oil company. So all of a sudden, he comes on with them and starts, you know, making a living, I guess, off of that, reports are. And it becomes BP, which we saw the huge spill in the Gulf. That was British Petroleum is where that came from. Mm. It's another sign. We're talking about these different signs. Yeah. So what happened? So then if you look at the signs, when the oil pours all over the Gulf Coast, and you connect that with Winston Churchill, and you connect that with Iran, who today we're actually saying, you know, Iran's building nuclear weapons, you know, and all this. It's like, but their oil just spilt all over are our chickens coming home to roost?
Wow.
You think about it. Outside of God, we've all fallen short. There's nobody perfect. It's because of God's grace on America. God shed his grace on America. It's not because anyone's good. If we turn our backs on God, the sins of our fathers are going to overtake us like a tsunami. You can't go back and make things. You can only repent for things. But you can't fix these things. These things they just keep going back all the way to the Garden of Eden. It never stops. But when we turn our hearts to God, God sheds his grace on us. There is no hope in a man except the man Jesus Christ. And in him, all hope is not in vain. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although
you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, honey. We're looking here at this Churchill bust here you're looking at it. And it says a lot. We can learn a lot about what's going on. And God still speaks, and he speaks through different things that are going on. But this is Winston Churchill bust, and it was what was sent back by President Barack Obama, who became president, and I believe is sitting in the ambassador of Great Britain in Washington, D.C. I think it's sitting there, according to the Telegraph, London Telegraph. But, you know, getting back to this BP company, in 1923, Churchill acted as a paid consultant to Burma Oil, which now is called BP, as the British was the first one to access oil, to lobby the British government to allow Burma to have exclusive rights to Persian oil, to Iranian oil. So he argued to have it. Also, in 1919, Churchill sanctioned the use of tear gas on the Kurds in Iraq. Though the British did consider the use of this non-lethal gas, they decided to use conventional weapons instead. So, I mean, when you think about telling people today how horrific it is to use this gas in Syria, and how, you know, Hussein gassed the Kurds in Iraq, and it's like this. Winston Churchill authorized it to be done, but they did not do it, and it's like, the further you go back and look at men, the more you realize we need Jesus. Mm. You know, we all need Jesus. But I mean, of an apology tour, I mean,
if you're going to start apologizing, and repentance is always good. I mean, the best way to is just start, but you'll never finish
right.
until the Lord returns. But just when, you know, if anything, Islam needs to apologize to the nations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the little short vapor history of America that just started a few years ago compared to, yes, when people say, you know, and as Americans, that for some reason we just think we always were. Mm. And it's like, no, we weren't, then we were.
All right.
And you compare the length of how long Islam's been around to how long America's been around, you can't just say it didn't exist. Somebody says, I'm throwing the alphabet out. I'm just not going to use the alphabet anymore. He says, why? He goes, because my teacher that taught me them is an atheist. It's like, you're going to need these letters, and the vowels are going to be very important to you. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right. And if somebody did teach you how to read, they did. It's okay. It's all right. It's human beings. God loves the human race.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that that belief is right. And we've talked about this again and again, that the acceptance of Islam is the denial of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's the anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. They say he's a prophet, and he's going to have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. Then he will assist their guy that's going to come out the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're walking in Mecca around that the hole in the ground, the well. And he's going to put a mark on them, and that's going to make them, he's like, oh, my deceptive goodness, crickets, this is crazy. And so understand that it looks like that religion's being used to organize the world. You know, and when you look at Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's book, somebody who mentored our president, according to the Chicago Tribune, I believe it is, and Hillary Clinton, they said, you know, make them live up to their own rule book. That's one of the things. Make them live up to their own rule book, because nobody can live by the law. They'll fail. And so you're looking at this religion just pushing. And the more that you push religion instead of a relationship with God through his son, the worse it looks.
Mm.
And if you start arguing with somebody over religion, it's like, dude, you've lost. Because no man's righteous, no, not one, but only through Jesus Christ are we made right. Not by our own works. We can't do that. You can't just boastfully just begin to proclaim things like that. You got to bring Jesus up. And that's why other religions, especially Islam, brings Jesus down, because he is the one access to God.
Mm.
And they want to remove him as much as they can from every place, even from the military. They don't want Jesus' name brought up in the military. It's like, that's how awesome he is, by the way. But of all the things to do, they were looking for ways, as this Transvaal Constitution, through Churchill, who was over it, to figure out how the black man can't vote in the continent of Africa. And so since February is Black History Month,
yes,
which I personally believe we should never have just a month. It should be, we should teach history 12 months out of the year.
Right.
We shouldn't, but thank God we're at least talking about it for
at least,
a month.
Right.
But we should not separate our histories. Our history should be all taught together.
Everything.
Because if he's my brother, then we need to learn about my brother's journey with myself. And but until then, take your other brother 101 at University of
exactly
so you can get it all
but learn it.
And so Black History Month, and so I'm looking right here, man, John, you know, I have my notes on this, that, you know, Dr. Avita King, I love Dr. Avita King, and she has a book out. Her book is called
King Rules.
She talks about that book in the book about, you know, Dr. King Jr. Her father was Dr. King's brother. Of course, her grandfather was their father. And
Daddy King.
Yes. Yes, Daddy King was her grandfather. Took me a moment. And the lineage is written in this book. It's pretty cool because you can actually see, I really believe that Dr. King was an apostle, you know, touched by God to be able to bring us to the original tent of this nation. And he lived in such a way that trying to find my notes here, in such a way that he stayed within the laws of the land and the Constitution, and he also stayed under the laws of God in view of his mercy and grace, like all of us. You know, read about David. None of us perfect.
Right.
But the statistics are saying now you know, 70, I think 70% of African-American children are born into fatherless homes. Mm. But I think it's 46%. We'll see Dr. King talk about it right here. I think it's 30-something percent of African-American children, black children, are being killed in America in the womb before they get a chance to live. Black History Month, listen, they're trying to make black children history. We need to step up and say, stop the massacre of the African-American children in our nation. And it makes you think about this. And we talked about Winston Churchill. He was for eugenics. He supported eugenics. Eugenics is where Margaret Sanger, the one that founded, you know, this Planned Parenthood, her whole point was trying to eliminate the African race, the black race. I mean, she talked about, you know, the terrible things that she said, and eugenics was a way to be able to do that, and abortion was a way to do that, and they're doing it today. As a matter of fact, watch Dr. King now.
February is Black History Month, a time when we celebrate the strides and contributions African Americans have made throughout our nation's history. Today, we're looking into an epidemic that is making black people history: abortion. The CDC's latest abortion surveillance report shows between 2007 and 2010, nearly 36% of all abortions in the U.S. were performed on black children. And joining us now to weigh in on the situation is pro-life activist Dr. Alveda King. Thanks for being with us, Dr. King.
Hello, Mark. Hello, everyone.
Why do you think black mothers are turning to abortion at such a high rate?
I once met a lady, very recently actually, during Black History Month this year, and she told me after she heard my talk, she said, I've had 19 secret abortions. I used it as birth control. And we began to talk, and the deceptions that have come to the entire community of America, but certainly the African-American community, from Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America, and other abortion providers, is that abortion is a means of birth control. Of course, we know that that's a very deadly means. We've also been told by Planned Parenthood in the African-American community, and of course in the various communities of our country, that abortion is health care, along with the harmful chemicals and shots and devices that are used to prevent pregnancy. So African-Americans being targeted also by eugenics and genocide, we were told we were sold a very bad product, and that being abortion and other abortive facets as health care. Abortion is not health care. And these other chemicals and products are not, they're a bad product. I'm working with the project through Priest for Life, Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion. And Janet Morana has written a wonderful book there, Recall Abortion. So African Americans, in order to lower the population of African Americans, Margaret Sanger came up with, during her lifetime, as she founded Planned Parenthood, all of these schemes, which included abortion. And African Americans have not been educated to that truth.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Planned Parenthood. The organization's founder, Margaret Sanger, like you mentioned, she once said, colored people are like human weeds and are to be exterminated. Do you think young people know about her beliefs?
But what we're discovering here in America, young people who have been born in America and have the wonderful privilege of being natural United States citizens don't understand our Constitution, don't understand about the eugenics movement. There's so much that our children are not being taught. That certainly is in the African American community, but every community. And so whether we are now, according to Acts 17:26, we are one blood. Of one blood, God made all people. So we think that we're separate races and we have all of these issues and lack of understanding. And without understanding, the purpose of birth control is not to just help a family. It doesn't help anyone. It kills babies and it hurts and sometimes kills mothers, deprives fathers of a future. So these are things that are not being taught in our nation. My uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Luther King Jr., the brother of my father, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, and of course, Daddy King being their father, very pro-life Baptist preachers, men of God. Now, were they perfect? Absolutely not. But serving a perfect God, they were on guard against abortion. My uncle said, we must learn to live together as brothers, and I added sisters, or perish as fools. If we can't live together, if we continue to abort our children, we'll be in trouble. He had another quote, the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. And of course, we know that many times that is why women choose abortion.
Dr. King, what can Christians do to help stop this abortion epidemic?
As Christians, we must pray. We must recognize that we are brothers and sisters. We must remember God's word where he says, choose life. And if we're doing that, and if we're praying, and we're providing the right types of teachings for our young people, for example, if they are taught very well about God's plan for a family, and that means that a man will marry a woman, together they will have children. They'll raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and those children will grow up and continue in God's way. As that happens, we won't need abortions, and so certainly sexual purity until marriage is part of that. But praying, teaching, instructing, but telling the truth in love. And as we do that, we'll see that abortion can, in America, become unthinkable in the 21st century.
What kind of resistance have you encountered personally with your pro-life ministry?
Well, I'm actually post-abortive myself. That means I actually had abortions myself. And because I did have those abortions, sometimes I get resistance in our community. When I get that resistance from women who don't want me telling about how my abortions hurt me and how I had to go to God in 1983 when I was born again and to repent and be healed. Healing is available to us. And so as I teach and I tell and I candidly tell my experiences and the healing and the love of God, then the resistance begins to go away. And women and men, young boys and young girls, they'll say, can God forgive me? Can God help me? Can someone help me so I don't have to abort my child? We must tell the truth, but we're speaking the truth in love, and God will meet us there.
All right, Dr. Alveda King, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
Wow.
So you're seeing our book right here, King's Rules, and make sure you get that book. You can get it, find it on VFNTV.com, go to The Torch, or you can get it at any bookstore anywhere. But it'll really encourage you. It's about 10 rules that the King family lives by. And you know, I just think a lot of the family, it's amazing what they've done and what they have stood for, and just
the legacy continues with Dr. Alveda.
Yes. But you're looking at, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, calling African Americans weeds. She wanted to destroy them, and Churchill was for eugenics too. That's the same kind of thing, making sure people can have children and that type of thing.
Wow.
And then you're looking at 36% of black children are being killed in the womb now. And that's what she wanted. That's what Margaret Sanger wanted when she originally started this.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stand up. Dear God, we want abortion to end. We need these 36% of these children we need them to live and not die. What's going on here? The same thing that happened in Africa when the Brits went in there trying to colonize it, and they were trying to figure out how do you determine what African blood is in whose veins, because they can't vote. Mm. They're not valuable. And that same spirit was coming right into America and through Margaret Sanger. And even today, to this very day, like Dr. King was just saying, 36% of black children are being killed in the womb. That's what she wanted. That's what the adversary wants. We want them to live. We want every black child, every African-American child to live. We want That's families right. to come together. And listen, if we turn our hearts to God and we start seeing ourselves as our blood, we all bleed red.
and we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and that we can exchange blood and live, because if you need blood, I can give you blood. You need blood, vice versa. We can give each other blood. It's because God created us in his image. Life is in the blood. We're the same. One blood, as she talked about. Once we understand that, we'll come together and we'll see a great end time harvest. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Welcome to the Army Navy Store with two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, All-Pro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks, and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none.
We want to earn your business and keep your trust. All-Pro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Well, I just want to say right up front that Donna was out shopping, and she got a Saints jersey.
Oh, wow.
A Saints jersey. That's a football team, not hockey. And
Does she need something to mop up the floor?
No, actually.
I mean,
thing about it was, you know, there was if you look back, if you study the archaeological digs around New Orleans, you'll find out they did win once.
Did they?
They did. Okay. And it must be over because she found it in somebody's garage brand new for $1.
For a dollar.
Do you remember the day that those things were so high? It was like, wow. These were just like,
oh, yeah.
These were like stuffing, you know, for your like place the peanut thing. And so, of course, I'm like, she says, like, I got to give this to Pat. And I'm thinking, you got to give that to Pat. I'm going to sleep in it. And I had a dream.
Was it a scary dream? Was it a scary dream?
They just lost again.
Okay. I don't know what
it was.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. Really, there wasn't a dream. Nothing happened as usual. But I can't believe $1. It's going for $1 now.
Wow. I never come across that.
I said,
like that.
Baby, if you ever run into another one, get it.
Yeah,
get it.
Because
they will quit printing them after a while.
Yeah.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So, bringing this whole thing in these last two programs, hopefully you caught both of them, getting this history to begin to understand, where we are. And if our history brings us to a place, and what I find out is when we start allowing man to reconcile things versus God to reconcile things at the cross, it gets really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But God says he makes the two one. He makes the two enemy adversaries one at the cross. That's where reconciliation can take place, and the one that will only work where we become one, a new man in Christ Jesus. And so we're looking at here, so then when the president did go on the apology tour, one of the apologies I believe he made in front of the Washington Monument, I can't remember where it was, I tried to find it, but sorry, was he said other countries, said that, America's still working its way through, some of our past history. And we're still working out, equal treatment for the First Nation people and for working our way out of slavery. And some of the words he used, it wasn't the word slavery, I believe, but in other words, the race issues that we had in America, we're still working our way through that. And for us not to say that that's a reality, you know, that's, you can't, we got, you know, if people are not going to believe you when you say what the truth is, if you don't acknowledge the truth when somebody else is speaking truth. If somebody else is speaking truth, we got to be able to say that's truth. You know, the old judo thing that says, you know, go with the part they're giving you and just, you know, continue the movement. You know, let them know if that's true, it's true. You can say if it wasn't your experience, you can say it's not your experience. But if it's true, I mean, listen to what I just told you in the last two programs. This is true. You know, there's a reason why that bus went back. You know, get this thing out the White House. And there's a reason why the Emancipation Proclamation's hanging in the Oval Office. And there's a reason why Dr. King's bust is now sitting there in the office. And it is an amazing sight to see the first African-American president right next to the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln signed and seeing Dr. King's bust there while he's meeting with former presidents like George H. Bush and Governor Jeb Bush. I had a picture. I mean, it's an amazing sight when you see the journey that even Churchill was trying to figure out with the with this constitution in Africa. How can you figure out to make sure that anybody that has African blood can't vote? That's what they were trying to do. And so I can see where, you know, we got some things to be able to work through. And if we can talk about these things, then we can get through them. It looks like, you know, potentially that, you know, all this stuff is going on to bring us to a better place, to force us to a place to deal with things we didn't deal with before. And if you look historically at how God does things, I mean, he will use people out of control. He'll use people who deny him and serve other gods to be able to discipline his people to bring them into a place of compliance in dealing with things. And then after his people repent, then he deals with the people who touch God's people.
Yep.
But he does that. It's just kind of how the Lord does that. Wouldn't it be cool if we got ahead of time, we knew the season that we were in, and we go, wait a minute, I think I got it. And we pass the test without having to go through deep trials. And he says, when you see these things happen, if you repent, if you acknowledge that, hey, I've sinned, that I've gone away from you, and we turn away from these ways he's letting us know, these are wrong ways that historically has been happening and still presently been accepted in different places. And we humble ourselves. He said he will forgive us. He will forgive our and heal our land. We need healing here. The whole deliverance of America didn't come with the killing of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That didn't solve. That wasn't like, it's not over. It's like it got put on pause. But we can begin to deal with that today as the church. We can begin to say, you know what? Unity, we need to come together. One God, one Lord, one body as brothers and sisters. Let's pray now. Father God, Lord, I thank you for our audience. Lord, help us to come together as one people, Lord. One blood, the blood of Jesus Christ over us all that makes us equal in you. And help us to honor each other, Father God, and heal us from these crazy oppressive evil things that have happened in the world, Father God, and help us as the church to step outside of that and be a new nation, a new ethnos in you, Father God, and deliver your awesome gospel of salvation to all mankind, God. We just ask you for revival, Lord. End this abortion, Lord.
Yes.
Send revival in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Remember, we are two programs back to back. And if you haven't, you're just new to tuning into VFN TV, remember, you can always catch more at VFNTV.com. We have so much information there for you and so many ways that you can stay connected. Take a tour. Take a tour, stay a while, and you'll find that the resources are there. And of course, you find something great, share it with a friend.